Hello everyone. As you can see with the picture, we are two kids of KDE. And what we are doing now in the next half hour, we put on our green, red goggles and look into our future.
Okay, so in the past we've dealt with a couple of limitations of our development tools and development model. First of all, it's very hard to write tables in a very centralized and flat environment. Everyone has to commit to the same branch. You cannot really experiment easily. Patch review mostly happens on mailing lists. And it's always really hard to keep track of the status of a patch. I mean, Winter weekly sends out 20 emails replying to all kinds of patches. Has this actually been committed? Has this gone in? So it's hard to really know what's going on. And there's no offline operation with SEN, technical problem. But also those people that not only do casual development, but we have one or two evenings in 2 weeks to work on KDE, they don't necessarily know if Frank is frozen at that point or what is the real meaning of the piece of code they are committing to.
So the thing that we heard quite often is we just switch to Git. And what we try to outline is that Git seems to be the right tool. It solves all the limitations we currently experience. On the other side, just switching to Git is a non-trivial thing. CVS to SVN, we did that in the past. It was okay, it took some while, but in the end, our habits didn't have to change that much. So it was relatively straightforward. We just had to learn a little bit of new quirks and different quirks. And the improvement that we actually got was essentially in the same amount, quite limited. So what we expect from a switch to another repository system is that we get a much better improvement, especially on what and how to keep track of what's going on. A problem that we see is that if you switch the revision control system again, then we will have a transition period where we lose productivity. Everyone has to learn a new tool, has to fight with it, has to figure out how to use it, how to make use of it. And what we actually want to be is we want to be more productive. So how can we achieve that? What happens if we switch to any distributed version control system like Git? What happens with our way of working together? What ensures that our code that we release is actually stable? What ensures that it contains all the features that we wanted to have? What ensures that if you branch off into some maintenance branch, like the patch release branches that we frequently do, what ensures that the stuff that goes in there is actually making it more stabilized and that we don't have any regressions or that we are on a way of having less regressions and a better desktop. And also we want to provide playgrounds for developers. We don't want to give the developers an opportunity to share what they're working on, even if it's not going to become part of any KDE version. They just want to have a way to have an open playground where everyone can collaborate on. Let's have a look at how KDE 4 development actually happened. I just took out some statistics between the very first alpha of KDE, I don't actually remember how it was called, and KDE 3.5, we had around 420,000 revisions. And as we can see, between 3.5 and 4.0, we had almost the same amount of revisions in our subversion, which is a really huge thing. So the way we developed KDE 4 was that we had our users. The users used KDE 3. They were really happy with it. They had no reason to do something else. And the developers, they developed on new stuff. They had no reason to use or to develop on KDE 3 anymore because they tried new stuff. And the problem we had is that the groups didn't actually talk to each other.
So I already said that KDE's kernel development model is very centralized, so it's a pyramid, and at the same time it's very flat because there are no different layers. Basically, everyone commits to the top to trunk. With 4.0, we started committing to a 6-month release cycle. That meant 4 months coding and 2 months freeze to stabilize to get towards a release. And we found out that you need another month after a release to get into development and to fix a couple of immediate bugs. So you end up with only 50% of the time for actual development. Then, of course, distros have their patches on top of KDE, and there's no easy way for us to get back to those patches, to merge patches back into trunk. And then a more general thing that's happening today, towards KDE 4, we basically broke everything and put it back together. And now we're moving more from libraries and frameworks towards applications towards using all those libraries and frameworks, so that there's less probability of breakage in the future. And that's basically how it looks like right now. At some point, we said, hey, now we're freezing, and no new features will get in. That gives consensus some time to kind of save, get stabilized, test it, alpha, beta releases, release candidates. And finally, we end up with the first 4.x.0 release, and we stabilize that further into the stabilization branch.
So the important thing to remember is that we actually have switch between two modes, between a development mode and a stabilization mode. And this is really fixed time-based, so people who have problems with when they have time for KDE, they don't actually fit quite well in that model.
Yeah. What we also learned is that the community is becoming more and more diverse. So we have different sub-projects that work in different ways, like, for example, after KDE 4.0, the KDE games, people had their games ready half a year before release, and they were really, really good quality. At the same time, that project wasn't quite there when we released, so we needed to find something in between where we could say, okay, this is releasable, basically usable, and then move on from that. And the community is becoming much more complex, so the things you expect from KDE are growing. With individuals, like the Michael Pike example, he's on a ship most of the time and comes back, acts on KDE like crazy, and then he vanishes again. And just the US maybe doesn't respect our development cycle. Something we need to fix probably. We also have companies with complications. This pipeline should be useful for a certain customer at that point in time, which again might not match our release or development cycle. And then we have actually different expectations. For example, about 4.0, we found that some users said, yeah, this works pretty well. I can run my terminal on this desktop. It's cool. Another said, yeah, I'm missing this and that feature that's in 3.5.9, and unless that's done, it's not usable for me. And of course, like we saw with the last one between 4.4 and 4.1, there were more disruptive changes while other frameworks were more stabilized and really easing into power numbers. So our community changes, but also the environment changes. As I said, the community is growing more diverse, but at the same time, we see that the community development models, new development techniques come up. One of the most popular things is probably all the distributed development. To a point where one of the top subversion, as I said, open source projects should probably think about the distributed systems because the same price is much.
I don't think it's all the company.
Okay, better? So I will start over. So more tools. Developers ask us, some version that's not flexible enough for me. I want to do all the cool things that Git can do. So our own people want us to move forward because subversion kind of sucks. Then we see some very interesting discussions on KD Core Develop. For example, where should we put Fauna, which is part of KDE, but it's also part of Qt. So how do you deal with that? For a long time, we've been having Qt copy, which is basically a fork of Qt with patches that are going to be upstream. And we are also having that in our repository. And it's a very, very strange way of working with it. Actually, would fit perfectly in a Git branch. And then, of course, it's not only operating system vendors that are that want to ship and sell KDE, but it will also be people who want to use it on Windows, on Mac. And there will be software developers who are mainly interested in the platform. So there's, it's really becoming complicated to try to find one size fits all solution.
So the one size fits all solution was what the release team tried to achieve with KDE 4.0. I think the picture explains quite well. The release team that is supposed to actually help and guide and steer in some way. Was just trying to avoid that it falls off development. Do we have a solution? I think the solution would be pick your poison, but that would be a cheap shot. What we actually discussed during Linux Talk is that we have to a little bit think about how we develop and how we want to cooperate and share our work in the future. So what we are trying to present to you is to make the people aware that we have to think about how we work together. An important point that we both agree on that is extremely important is that we have to put the power to the people, because the people are those that define the KDE. If we establish any policies or rules or procedures or release schedules, that's not anything that people motivate. The way we see policies or rules are that they just are there to avoid the chaos, but they are not there to steer or to guide the people. The people are those that are important. What's also important is that your software is working. Working software is the most important thing. So how do we achieve that? We have to deliver as soon as possible. That means not sooner than that. As soon as possible. And as often as possible, because we want to make every user group and everyone happy. Part of making people happy is that we have to ensure that whatever we deliver is actually in a good state, that it survived some testing and that it's in a state where people are happy with it. What's even more important than the release schedule is to actually motivate the users to work with the developer. That means users must have a direct channel to the developer. They must be able to tell the developer what do they like about new features, what do they dislike in new features, what's bothering them, what has to be changed in their opinion. And we also have to motivate the developers. Developers have to be more open. They have to be able to collect feedback from our users directly. They have to work with our users and figure out what do they really want, what's their problem that they are trying to express, and how can we fix their problem. At the same time, we don't want to make the process, or we don't want to establish a process that makes everything slower. We want to make it faster. So we want rapid development. That means we must not establish any process that slows us down. Quite contrary, we have to have established processes that make us work faster or make us work easier. Which means we have to concentrate on making the the rules or the way we want to work as easy as possible, so that everyone can move into it. I think what we are doing right now is we reflect upon our workflow, and we want to share our experiences. That's why we want to establish a POF session somewhere later the week. Hope you want to join us and share your experience on what bothers you and how we can improve on things. I think in general, it's more important that we adapt than we plan in the future. Because if you establish any plans, like in 6 months we want to have this feature ready, and it doesn't happen because the people who are going to finish this feature just don't have time for it, then we have a problem, because we said we are going to be done in 6 minutes, in 6 months with this feature. So planning is quite complicated within KDE, and if you establish a plan and then can keep it, then we have an emergency situation, and that's not really nice. So we have to turn it around and think about how can we adapt with the way how we work and adapt on whatever is happening.
So some of the problems are really related to when do we freeze the code base? How does our development cycle look like? When do we stop development? When do we start stabilizing? And in the past we've always put the release cycle, and I said, okay, so the release cycle dictates how we develop. And as we said before, that doesn't really work in all situations because environmental constraints say, yeah, but I don't have time when you want to release, or I need to do my feature when you say you want to be frozen. And so we looked at 4.0 and saw that the user and developer connection has not really been there, that very little people tested what's actually being developed, that even lots of developers didn't use the KDE4 code base in the beginning, and that again has certain implications on quality. It makes it suck.
So what we have to establish is a role in the middle, a role that actually is tested. That means that we don't want to force the users to use what we are developing, but we want to have a group of people, both from the users and from the developer side, that actually test what we are developing.
And I've been blogging about that term some time ago. What I showed earlier is that we have this green line, and it's disrupted by a red line. The interesting thing is that most projects actually do not work that way, and maybe most important, Qt has not developed in that way. So how about we just say it's always summer in Trunk? What if we say we do not freeze Trunk anymore? What would that mean? Well, it would probably mean if we do not freeze it, then we also should not break it. It would make it a more reliable source. So I can pull at whatever point, I can pull the code from Trunk, and a couple of assumptions are always right. It should work, like this. Dirk said earlier, it's not frozen, so I can commit features to it. That makes understanding Trunk much, much easier. At the same time, so what would change? We would branch when we freeze and not branch when we are frozen 2 months ago and have actually been stabilizing Trunk. This is how a lot of software is actually being developed, but it has a couple of more implications. Not breaking Trunk is actually quite complicated. So what we would need to do is we need features tested, we need teams to work on certain features and only merge them into Trunk when they're fairly ready. Again, here's something where a distributed version control system and a more team-based workflow can help us a lot. So if we move away from a centralized workflow, it opens up the possibility that we can change our whole development model and make things easier to understand.
Yeah. In order to achieve that, I think we have to switch away from the current freeze schedule based to a milestone based, and we just pulled up three possible milestones. They're not fixed in a way, but an idea would be that we define a publish milestone, which happens at some point in time, which is basically more or less like an alpha release. It's there so that every other developer can check out what the other subgroups in KD did. For example, the KD Games people can look at what did the Plusword people do in the last 4 months, and vice versa. Because it's so, the project is getting into an area in the magnitude of a size that is very hard to keep track of what are the other people actually doing. So this published milestone would actually be helpful for everyone to figure out what have the other people done, and how can I work on that, or how can I integrate that with what I did. At some point later, we would define a branch milestone, which is actually after every developer gave each other feedback and we talked to each other, we would say, yeah, now we want to make a release out of it. So what we do is, because we don't want to freeze trunk, is we have to branch from trunk and have to start a development that gears towards a release, which would be defined by the branch milestone. So we have to call for testers. We have to call for feedback. We have to figure out how to stabilize this branch. Things like test suite, do we pass a test suite? Do we even have a test suite for things? What do we do with features that are on trunk but are incomplete or not usable at the moment? Do we disable them? Do we just remove them from the branch? And then after a certain amount of time, we actually have a milestone which defines that this currently branched code base is tested. It means it's stable, it's feature complete, and it's ready for the user. And we want to deliver that on time. And the problem is the last milestone depends on every milestone before. So that's quite a tough problem to solve.
So what is the big picture here? Why should we do that? Why are we thinking about that at all? Because we won't be able to work in this way much longer, or the other way around, we are trying to cycle with the brakes on. And what we want to do is we want to create a more agile development process. We want to be able to deal with a growing and more diverse community. We want to support the personal workflows of people, of teams. We want to make it possible for people that have a good idea or a new concept of working together to actually do that. So we're all extreme individuals, and we have our very own ideas of how we should work together. Yet we only have one way how we can develop. So that might need to be fixed. And also, with a central repository, we need to give everybody accounts who wants to work on KD. We cannot just try something in private, copy the code, and start sharing it. We're really restricting people to ask us first to work on KD, and I don't think we should do that. And I think we were actually thinking, so what is the whole point of that? Can we put that in one sentence? And just 20 minutes ago said, yeah, it's getting us ready for the future.